Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, presented by Game Plus and Network. Chris Meany here with you. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out on this thirsty Thursday. Hopefully, everybody's having a fantastic morning, a good day here today. We got a lot to talk about on this show. 11 games on the ice. We got picks, we got point props, we got assist props. We got maybe some DFS advice. We definitely have some NHL picks on this show. Five games in the association, actually four games in the association. Tino Rodriguez is going to drop by. We're going to talk about those four games in the NBA. We're going to give him a lot of love for his Kyrie Irving assist prop, which hit in the first half. He got the four assists and that was it. Nothing else after that, but all you needed was four assists. So we're going to give him a lot of love and we're going to talk about his Brooklyn Nets just a little bit here on this show and maybe see who he is feeling in the NBA here tonight. We'll also take a look at the week 18 lines in the NFL. We have two Saturday games happening this weekend, the Chiefs and the Broncos and the Eagles and the Cowboys, and a lot happening right now with both Dallas and Philadelphia in terms of COVID. Over the past 24 hours, we've seen some Dallas players get listed, placed on the COVID list. Seeing Micah Parsons, Tyron Smith, and this morning, Anthony Brown, Philadelphia, a couple days ago, placed, I think, 14 players on the COVID list. It's really tough to give picks in the NHL, in the NBA, in the morning day of. It's even tougher to give NFL Week 18 picks on a Thursday when most of the games are happening on a Sunday, and we don't know right now who is playing, who is resting. We have an idea. George came up with about eight games, I believe, that, you know, I think all eight are kind of meaningful, some not so much, but certainly these teams are playing for, you know, not just playoff lives. We really know who all the playoff teams are right now. San Fran has a big game this weekend. The Saints could squeak in. The Steelers need a Jags loss. Obviously, we have Tennessee, they're on my mind too, because Derrick Henry practiced yesterday. What? It looks like he's going to be full go. We kind of knew that Henry was going to be ready to go for the playoffs, but the fact that he is practicing after breaking a bone in his foot a couple months ago, really, it solidifies the stamp of approval that this guy is an absolute beast. He is the king of football, the king of the NBA. LeBron, the king of the NHL, I guess. King Henry, right? I mean, who's the king in the NFL? I think it might be Derrick Henry. But there are some other meaningful football games, of course, the Chargers and the Raiders happening this weekend as well. So we'll break that down. There's a lot of drama in the NFL as well. We'll talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers and the MVP race. We'll also talk about Antonio Brown as well. We'll bring him up in this show in a little bit. And as I mentioned, Tino's going to drop by. We'll talk NFL together and some NBA stuff as well. Just some news that's filtering through here as of this morning. Tuukka Rask, professional tryout with Providence Bruins. Think he's going to make it. Actually, he'll probably make it and they get the promotion to Boston. He's going to make his Providence debut or his 2022 debut. I think he's played for Providence before. I'm pretty comfortable saying that. But he is going to start for Providence tomorrow and we should see him pretty soon with the Boston Bruins. I think that's bad news for Jeremy Swayman, who is getting the nod tonight against the Minnesota Wild, but I do believe he would be the odd man out, and then they roll with Ullmark and Tuukka Rask. A couple other news items. Nikita Kucherov is going to make his debut. The NHL show, Dangle Betselli, is live over at FTNBets.com. You're watching here on our YouTube channel. Smash that like button. You have any comments, any questions, leave them there. We'll get to them throughout the show. I'll always circle back before puck drop and tip off in the NBA to drop in my favorite bet, because we're still asking for your favorite bet, and also anything else that I see news related that could swing. Maybe you feel better or worse about a team or better about a person getting a point or a prop, whatnot, because, I mean, you got to keep an eye these days. I mean, you have to keep an eye on absolutely everything in the NHL, NBA, and NFL. Just so much news, man. It's wild. It's been a crazy couple weeks, that's for sure. Crazy world we're living in there. Everyone stay safe. Stay safe. Nikita Kucherov going to return here tonight. When we were talking to Eric and Dangle Betselli, when we were breaking down all 11 games in the NHL, I thought that he was close, but I didn't think he would make his return tonight. So he is tonight. You have him in season-long leagues. Activate him from IR. Certainly going to be in play tonight from a DFS standpoint as well. I mean, it's a big boost. You don't need me to tell you that it's a big boost for Tampa Bay to get their sniper back in Nikita Kucherov. A lot of other news items here this morning. Deontay Johnson of the Pittsburgh Steelers placed on the COVID list. That is a big game for Pittsburgh this weekend against the Baltimore Baltimore Ravens. They do need a Jags loss against the Colts, or like 15.5-point dogs, but the Jags have had like a lot of success against the Colts. I believe Indy has lost their last 5 games in Jacksonville. It's really hard to back Jacksonville though this weekend. I mean, Trevor Lawrence hasn't thrown more than one passing touchdown since week 1. He hasn't looked like a great quarterback at all. Now we got to go up against a Colts defense. This team needs a win to get in. I'm not buying it. Jimmy G, he practiced yesterday, and apparently he threw some footballs, but he was in a lot of pain. He said after that, according to Rap Sheet, that he was just in a ton of pain throwing those footballs. So I don't know if he plays this week against the Rams. That line has changed. It was 5.5 for LA, despite San Fran winning 5 straight games against the Rams. But no Jimmy G. I thought Lance looked okay, better as the game went on. I thought he looked a little bit more comfortable. Even still with Lance, I think that's probably a field goal game this weekend. But it doesn't look like Garoppolo is going to play. Chase Edmonds missed practice today, ribs and toe. And then Baker Mayfield undergoing shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder. You know, a lot of people are hard on Baker. I think we've been a little tough on Baker on this show as well. But man, dude played through a lot this year, a ton. And Cleveland also played through a lot as well. I mean, COVID ramped through their squad. I know a lot of teams dealt with a lot of adversity this year, but I thought the Browns dealt with quite a bit. I mean, there was that one game where they pushed it back. I think it was on a Tuesday, maybe against Las Vegas. And then I just felt like they were completely shorthanded. I know the Raiders have gone through some stuff as well, but man, Cleveland's really gone through a whole lot. Elijah Mitchell, more San Fran news is that he didn't practice either, but I think they're going to be pretty cautious with him throughout the week. You could see a heavy dosage of Elijah Mitchell. I'm okay here today. I'm okay. I'm all right. No Labatt's here just yet on a thirsty Thursday. A couple things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to give some love to the MLB crew. I know we talked about it earlier in the week about the MLB package and the draft kit and 129 pages led by Vlad Sedler, and he put together a great team. Not just saying this because I was part of that squad. He really did pull some high successful, high stakes players, fantasy baseball, and it's really draft season now. And I think a lot of people, myself included, when football is over, and I kind of feel like definitely the fantasy football season is over. We're going to talk a lot about, you know, the playoffs, and we're going to have a lot of fantasy stuff on this show, whether we're going to be giving picks and props, talk about playoff pools, all that good stuff. But you do get an advantage of drafting right now. You get not only you get a feel of, you know, have a couple kind of like mocks, even though they're not mocks, like high stakes drafts. You get a feel of where guys are going. You get a look of, you know, your teams, and, you know, you get your feet wet kind of deal. Yesterday, the podcast went live. It's free with Matthew Davis and Vlad Sedler. It is the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I listened to it late last night. It was up way too late. I'm up way too late all the time. You hear me say that a lot. Like, get some sleep. I need some sleep. I can't sleep. I get too excited. The mother-in-law gave me this clock. It's like this clock where the light shows, the time shows on the ceiling. It was like kind of like Batman, like, you know, it's just like on the ceiling, and it's I just sit there and I look at the number 254, 255, 256. Okay, now it's 315. I'm just staring at this thing. I don't know. I think, you know, it's a pretty cool gift, I guess. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't want to look over at the clock or your phone, and you just look at the ceiling and you see the clock. But I mean, D is snoozing all the time. She's fine with it. But I am looking up at that clock, and I am just counting and I'm counting and counting, and I'm not getting any sleep. So I looked at that clock all night, and I listened to the podcast. These guys are super, super sharp, very successful high-stakes players. Go check it out. I know that baseball seems like a long time away, and they're still on strike, and there's still some players unsigned, but we can prep early, right? It's never too early to prep, and these guys are going to set you up. They talk about Austin Riley, talk Chris Sale, Zach Gallen, who I absolutely love. I have a man crush for that guy. I think he's phenomenal, and Jorge Polanco. I've got 9 minutes here, and I told Tino I was only going to go 5 here in the first segment. Here we are. It's going to be a fun show. One of those shows, I think, Tino, and I think it will be highly entertaining here today. But check out the podcast. I retweeted it. It's free to check out. Follow _MattyWood_ on the Twitter machine, and RotoGut. You guys all know Vlad Sedler, an absolute beast in this industry. Check out the draft kit as well if you're looking to be part of the MLB family with us. I'm already seeing conversations happening in the Discord channel as well. Visit ftnfantasy.com/pricing, and you can save yourself a little bit of cash by using promo code Meanie or Mean Streets. All right, I think we're good. Oh yeah, one more thing. FTN newsletter. This is cool. Got a lot of exclusives, some perks. Sign up. It's free. Check out ftnbets.com/free. You're also going to get a free pick every day with that newsletter as well. Looking for more details? Again, FTN Fantasy, ftnbets.com/free. It is going to be one of those days. It is. We'll break. I got some stars of the day. Going to talk some NHL. I got some winners here too. Still asking for your best pick of the day. That's not going to change. Eric Rodman. Dude, you are hot fire. You got some picks. I want to see them in the YouTube channel as well. Keep your lock. Mean Streets continues right here on Game Plus Network. Mean Streets live here on our FTN YouTube page. Those watching on Game Plus Network, we appreciate you. Always a great lineup over Game Plus Network. And if you are watching there, head on over to our FTN YouTube page and give us your best bet of the day. We've given a couple betting packages away. 4B81, I know you got another pick in there yesterday. You and I have been in communication. Check out FTN Bets today. You should have the betting package available to you this afternoon. And M. Parley, get at me, dude. I know that we're always in communication as well. I don't know if you've realized that you have won a betting package. I think you are part of the FTN fam. You're pretty sharp given your picks, and you always support this show and Dangle Bet Selly, and I really appreciate all the love. But head on over to our FTN YouTube page. If you're watching here live, you can refresh the page after the show is over, and then you can leave in the comment section your best pick of the day. M. Parley was in the Leafs money line last night. You got that one right. 4B81, you got a Tavares anytime goal. Dude, you got that one right too. A great pick there from you. Eric, lose. Again, I always say lose, but you never win. You never lose. My goodness, man. It really is a bad day. Deontay Murray. Over 12.5 rebounds and assists you had last night. He had 12 assists, and he definitely had 9 boards. It's a great pick. A great pick. If you're looking for picks, just hang it on the YouTube page. Like, everybody's super sharp. They're giving picks. I checked in with a Morgan Riley. Hey, we got the Morgan Riley. We didn't get Darnell Nurse. What is going on with Nurse? He has the second most shot attempts in the NHL over the last 3 weeks, but he hasn't cleared in 3 straight games. Like, that is just sticking to the process, right? When the shot attempts are still there, yeah, I think you just continue to go back to it. Even though he's not hitting, I don't think we can get burned. He's been really good to us this year, but the Oilers are not on the schedule. Mark, I see your question. What's better, shots on goal or points? I do believe it's shots on goal, right? I think it's easier to predict shot attempts and shots on goal than points. I am going to give some point props, but keep in mind, these are pretty, like, point props are a little bit easier to hit than these assist props, but there's crazy value on these assist props. And you know, like Kadri the other day, plus 100 for an assist. He had an assist in 14 of his past 17 games. He had 2 helpers, so now he's got assists in 15 of his last 17 games. That train is over. I look today, he's minus 140 for an assist. Like, it was fun while it lasted, but there are certainly some perks that we could find, some edges that we can find in the assist prop game. But I think shot props are much easier to attack. ZMB21, Titans may just take the AFC. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they win this week, they're in. They got it, right? I mean, they're playing the Texans this week, so I think they're going to have a bye, and that's great news for Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, everybody in there. So, again, head on over to our FTN YouTube page, leave that question, or leave your favorite bet in there. I wanted to talk about the stars of the night. It's something we're going to do here. Football's kind of slowing down. So I'm going to start with the NHL. We get the 3 stars of the night here in the NHL from yesterday. Brian Rust, 2 goals, 3 points, 2 power play points, 5 shots on goal. This guy's been red hot since he's returned to the lineup. 2 games since he's returned, he's got 5 goals, 8 points, 10 shots, 17 points in 14 games overall. Double check to see if he's available in your fantasy hockey leagues. This is what I'm talking about for point props here tonight. For him to get an assist, he's plus 140. For him to get a point, he's plus 140. A point, he's plus 140. He's got 8 points in 2 games. He's playing with Sid the Kid up top with Jake Guentzel. They got a matchup against the Flyers here tonight, who are awful and completely shorthanded. And he's plus 225 to get an assist. That's crazy. And I tweeted that out, and a lot of people haven't been able to see that. It's at DraftKings. Guys, I'm north of the border. I can't bet on DraftKings. Bet365, he's plus money for a point and an assist. Not seeing him for a point just yet. But, you know, I from hearing from the subs, every state is different when it comes to DraftKings. So this may not be available to you, but it's something to keep an eye on. Like, plus 140 for a point is crazy, considering he's a point per game guy and he's got 8 in the 2 games. Braden Schenn returned to the lineup last night. He got some power play time. You see there, he got a power play point. He got a goal and 2 points. He's had a bit of a slow start. He had a slow start and then he missed some time due to an injury. He's only played 20 games. He's had 12 points in those 20 games, but he does have 6 points in his last 5 games. And then Evan Rodriguez. Man, what a season this guy's having. So last night, you see the numbers there. A goal, 2 points, 2 power play points, and 3 shots on goal. He was mic'd up last night. He was encouraging on the bench. We're going to get one. We're going to get one. We're going to get one. And they did get one. They got a couple, and they came back, and they got 9 straight wins now. A nice come-from-behind win against St. Louis last night. But Rodriguez, 14 goals and 14 assists on the season. 6 goals and 9 points in his last 5 games. He's got 20 shots over that span. 14 goals is a career high. 28 points is 1 back from a career high he set in Buffalo with the Sabres in 2018. And 2019, and it's not like his shooting percentage is outrageous, right? It's only 13% career high, obviously. For his career, it is 8.5, but he shoots the puck a lot, 108 shots. I wouldn't sell high on this guy. Double check to see if he's available on your fantasy hockey team. Just why not, right? The Penguins are starting to get healthier. I think Malkin comes back, and maybe they move Rodriguez to the wing. Maybe he jumps down to the third line. It's possible, but I think he's good enough, and he's proved enough that, you know, he could move over to the wing. He's got triple eligibility in Yahoo League. So you may have missed out, but I don't think it's a total fluke. I don't think he's going to score 30, but I definitely think he's going to flirt with 25, right? And the Penguins are rolling right now, and it's a good top 6 when they're completely healthy. Let's switch over to the 3 stars in the association. We got Kevin Durant there, 39 points, 8 boards, 7 assists. 4 games since he's been back in the lineup, 39 points, 26 points, 28, and 33 points. Kyrie Irving made his 2021-22 debut, first game this season. Played 32 minutes, 22 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Shout out to Tino, plus money, 3.5 assists last night on this show. 3 steals and a block. We're not going to see him again until the Brooklyn Nets are on the road January 10th in Portland. Sabonis, got to give some love to him. A triple-double last night. He's got 5 double-doubles in his last 6, but 6 straight losses for the Pacers. They lost last night against Brooklyn. They did have the lead, but they blew that one. And they have lost 9 of their last 11 games. They're completely shorthanded last night. How about Lance Stephenson? On Dirk Nowitzki night, by the way. That's right. They raised his number to the rafters. They got a little statue there, courtesy of Mark Cuban, and they held Golden State to the fewest points that they've had all season long. But Lance Stephenson last night was a certain surprise when it was quote-unquote supposed to be Kyrie Irving night in against, you know, Brooklyn. He has 30 points in 32 minutes, 5 assists, 3 boards, 4 threes, 20 points in the first quarter. He hadn't scored 20 points since 2018. The Pacers are completely shorthanded. So if you're in a deeper league or you're playing DFS, I think he's interesting. Maybe he's a streaming option because Indiana is really going through something. They signed him to a 10-day contract, and it was certainly a surprise for me to see him, 30 points. I was looking at some of the leaders from last night. I'm like, what is going on? Lance Stephenson. I'm Team LeBron, so I'm not a big fan, but you know how it is. Kelly Oubre from Charlotte. Last year was a bit of a disappointing season for him in Golden State, but this year, career high 2.9 threes per game. He had 9 triples last night, 6 rebounds, 32 points. So he's averaging the career high 2.9 threes per game and 7.7 attempts per game. Really just 1.4 threes per game for his career. So this year, maybe a bit of an outlier. He has been dropped in leagues over the past week and a half or so. But if you're looking for just some trays in your fantasy basketball league, you see somebody drop him, I would go and pick him up. He's averaging 16 points per game. He's not doing a whole lot after that. All right, I think that is it. Yes, I am on the Labatts early and often, all the time, all the time. I'm not. We got NHL next. We got NHL picks and props before we bring in Tino and really dive into the NBA schedule and week 18 of the NFL season as well. So keep your lock. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Now. All right, let's get into some NHL here. 11 games on the ice here this evening. Again, broke it all down with the Eric Young. You guys are all well aware of Eric Young, I think, especially everybody over at Anthem Sports and Entertainment. A free show to check out, Dangle Betselli, twice a week. Maybe when we get into February stuff, we'll have like 3 shows a week, but we broke down all 11 games, gave some picks on every game, some shot props, some points, talked a little bit of DFS as well. I see McCormick giving his picks. I know that he didn't watch Dangle Betselli. It's not that he wouldn't watch it. He's a busy dude, but I mean, I think we gave that exact. You want to put that up? Let's put that up for a second, Tino, if you got that. The scroll up. It's what he's liking here today with the Pens puck line, Panthers money line, Rangers money line, and Preds money line. Yeah, look at this. Like McCormick, what's up, dude? Yeah, so last night put Pittsburgh in to win in regulation at -110. I'm seeing now it's -145 at DraftKings. I'd go as high as -165. I don't want to get too crazy with the juice stuff, but for them to win on the puck line at +145 is crazy. You can get that over at FanDuel here. Basically gave the exact same parlay. I love the Preds against the Kings, and I like taking a shot on the Rangers too. Shesterkin is like 6'8 on DraftKings against, you know, a shorthanded Vegas team without Pacioretty and without Mark Stone. And I'm taking a shot on the Wild here this evening. It is Marco Rossi and Matthew Boldy day. Both of these guys going to make their NHL debut here tonight. No, Joel Eriksson Ek is tough, and playing in Boston's really tough too, but I like the Wild and the Rangers for upsets. You know, Calgary and Winnipeg, they've just been scoring a lot. I know Hellebuck's good and Kemper's decent, but, you know, you go look back at Winnipeg's last few games, you look at Colorado's last few games, these two teams are playing to the over quite a bit. No, 6.5 is pretty high, but there's a few teams I would take at 6.5. Colorado, Edmonton, because they can score and they can't keep the puck out of their net. The Jets is one as well, and Florida certainly one, another team that I would take over 6.5. I know 6.5 is a lot, but I think we'll see some fireworks and some offense. And how could you not back this Panthers team against Dallas in Dallas? The Stars are completely fresh and healthy. They haven't played since December 20th. The Panthers have scored 29 goals since December 20th. They have wins in 4 straight games and 29 goals scored over that span. I know that they're really good on home ice, the best team in the NHL on home ice, and they play to the overs quite often at home ice. This is in Dallas, a stronger defensive unit, but even Florida shorthanded with no Sam Reinhart, no Sam Bennett, it's just tough. It's hard to bet against them. If you want to shy away, sure, but this is an awesome team. You guys have heard me ramble enough this season about the Florida Panthers. So that's what I'm thinking. And, you know, Pittsburgh's on a back-to-back here, so it's tough to really go with a team. Usually, you know, when a team's in the second half of a back-to-back, especially when they got to go on the road for that back-to-back, it's not like it's a lot of travel. Battle of Pennsylvania. Slow down. Battle of Pennsylvania. It's not a lot of travel from Pittsburgh to Philly. And it's the back-to-back, but Tristan Jarry should start. He came in for relief from Casey DeSmith last night. The Penguins have won 9 straight, and as of right now, Philadelphia shorthanded. No Provorov, no Couturier, no Claude Giroux, no Konechny, right? And they're not really getting the goaltending. It's just this Penguins team is completely hot fire. So that's what I'm thinking from a pick standpoint. Let's go to shot props. Let's start, Tino, with Clayton Keller. Clayton Keller is probably my favorite shot prop play of the evening, and I like a lot of shot props here tonight. Clayton Keller. A matchup against the Chicago Blackhawks inside the top 10 in shot attempts and shots on goal over the last 5 weeks of the season. And they have turned it around since the coaching change. They've kind of tightened things up just a little bit here. But for Clayton Keller, look at the note. 26 shots on 33 shot attempts in his last 4 games. He has been shooting the puck quite often. He's hit the 7 mark shot mark. 3 times over that span as well. So I do like Clayton Keller here over 2.5 shots. You can get that at Caesars at -130. And there's a couple other shot props that I like here this evening as well. And again, a ton over at ftnbets.com. So for Jack Hughes, this is another guy who's shooting. He's now all of a sudden at a point per game pace this season. He missed some time. He struggled early on, and then he struggled when he came back, but he's feeling it right now. 18 shots in his last 4 games. He's had at least 4 shots in 3 of his past 4. Overall, he has cleared in 7 of his last 10 games, and he's coming in red hot as well. 3 goals and 9 points over a current 4 game streak. A matchup against the Columbus Blue Jackets this evening inside the top 5 in shot attempts and shots on goal at 5-5 per 60 over the last 6 weeks from our friends over at Natural Stat Trick. I like Troy Terry here today. He's got at least 4 shots in back-to-back games. The Ducks are shorthanded as well. A matchup against Detroit. Inside that same game, I also like Dylan Larkin over 2.5 shots. Brian Rust, again, you got to, I think, search around for him. Yesterday on FanDuel, he was -104 on FanDuel for 2.5 shots. I gave him some love at the top of the show. 10 shots in his 2 games since returning to the lineup. I would take him at any price, honestly. Put him in the parlays. A great spot here against the Philadelphia Flyers. He's just a volume shooter anyways. He's always been somebody that I like to go to when the Penguins are on the ice and when they're playing. And the matchup is just phenomenal here today. So I like Brian Rust at over 2.5 shots. And I gave some love to him earlier more. I guess a little bit more love for him in just a little bit. And then Adrian Kempe, as well as another guy that I like. The Kings are kind of shorthanded. No Alex Iafallo here. this evening, but he does have four shots in back-to-back games and at least three in three straight. And he's cleared 2.5 in 7 of his past 9 games. Guys, I mentioned I like Larkin. I like Tage Thompson. I definitely like Brent Burns. If there's going to be no Erik Karlsson here today, I think today with 11 games on the ice, there's a lot of opportunity here for some shot props. Let's go over to some point props here, Tino, and let's round out this hockey segment here today. So let's start with Brian Rust. Again, this is crazy. If you can find it, keep searching all your books, see if it can pop up. I would take anything, even money, even minus 140 for a point. I would definitely take that. Plus 140 for a point, plus 225 for an assist. You don't need to hear me go on any more about that. Craig Smith, 3 games up on the top line. He's got 2 points in those 3 games, got 11 shots over that span. He's plus 120 for 3 shots here today against the Wild. I think he's in play for his shot prop, but also playing on that top line with Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. Sometimes you're just going to fall into points playing with those guys. So plus 125 for a point. Tage Thompson, he's got 4 points in his last 3 games. The Sharks have allowed 14 goals in their last 2 games and 28 goals in their last 5. I watched them play Detroit the other day after they had played the Penguins and gave up 8. They gave up 6 against the Red Wings, and they gave up 2 in a minute while on the power play, and they almost gave up 3. This team is a mess, especially if there's no Erik Karlsson here today. Logan Couture is their best defensive forward. Doesn't look like he's going to suit up. Tage Thompson, pretty sneaky in DFS. Olofsson on his wing and Jeff Skinner on his wing. Both of these guys, all 3 actually, very affordable against the leaky Sharks. And then this is definitely a long shot because Alex DeBrincat is a sniper. He's a goal scorer. He doesn't have a lot of assists, but playing against Arizona tonight, and it does look like Wedgwood is going to be in the net for the Coyotes. This is not good. So DeBrincat and Patrick Kane, it could be a helper from a Patrick Kane goal. It could be a power play goal. Get Seth Jones, DeBrincat, and Kane all involved. So plus 200 is interesting. One more I'll throw out that's not on here is Jake Guentzel is plus 200 for an assist. I've been given picks over at Action Network as well, and that's one that I put in last night. Plus 200 for an assist for Guentzel or for Rust playing with Crosby again. I wouldn't be shocked if these guys got 5 goals here today, as we all like the Panther or the Penguins, I think, on this show, don't we? We like them on the puck line. Plus 145, like going to win in regulation. Minus 145 was this morning. I'm not sure what it's at now, but we did get in the bet tracker at minus 110. All right, a lot to digest there. I know I just gave you guys like a ton of NHL stuff, but I think you start with Clayton Keller. I think you go to Rust and some of those other guys that we talked about. I think DeBrincat is in play if you don't go Keller as well. But a lot of action, a lot of stuff. Hedman over 2.5 shots. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with it. I know he didn't hit in the last game. He got Nikita Kucherov back. The reason I was really riding Victor Hedman 2.5 shots because they were without point for some time and they were without Nikita Kucherov, and he was getting a lot of ice time. He's still going to continue to get a lot of ice time, but I don't think he's going to need to push the pace as much offensively as what he did when there was no Braden Point and no Nikita Kucherov. I think I would rather Point. I know Braden Point burned us in the last game. He had 2 shots. He had 6 attempts. He was great. I mean, he's hot fire right now. He's hitting the score sheet. I mean, he's been great in the 4 games since he's returned to the lineup, and he's cleared 2.5 in those 2 of those 4. I think it's okay, Rodman. But like I said, there's so many other plays on the board. If you're looking from someone from that game, I do have a sneaky one. It's Blake Coleman. You're going to get him at plus money. It's a revenge game. We can buy into that narrative. He's playing against the Bolts where he won back-to-back cups with Tampa. He put 12 pucks on net against the Florida Panthers in his last game. 12! And he's had some massive shot games over the last week and a half or so. This is somebody that we really liked, certainly me at the start of the season. I came off of him, but he's really shooting a lot. And I am buying into that revenge narrative, a game in Tampa Bay against his former squad. They may put him on the Jumbotron. They really will. I know it's Blake Coleman, and he's like an average third-line player or whatever, but he's a former 20-goal scorer, and he was huge. He was a big part of their success in those 2 cup runs. That line with Yanni Gourde and Barclay Goodrow was really, really good. Yeah, Coleman is juicy. I like it. You're probably going to get him at like plus 140 or something like that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll bring in Tino, and we'll talk a little NFL Week 18. Keep her locked. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network Live on our FTN YouTube page. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez _ rocking the NHL Network hat. And you had a little bit of a lot of stuff going on in your household here this morning, right? You lost some power and the internet still, during Dangle Bad Celly, and you're still, what are you doing? You're riding the generator there?
Yeah, we're riding a generator. So if things go out blatantly during the show, that's exactly why. Yeah, we are running. It's definitely a fire hazard. A lot of things into one extension cord running to a generator. So we had a mass search for every extension cord and surge protector in the house, connected them all, throwing 1,000 wires into plugs, and it's on. So that's let's just be happy it's on. That's all I got for you. Yeah, we're still dealing with it. So if you hear anything drastic happen in the background, that's also, you know, that's the noise.
You're a trooper. You're a trooper. We're managing here. We're supposed to get a ton of snow in my area tomorrow, so I hope I don't lose power. And I definitely need to purchase a generator, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we hit some shop props tonight. Maybe we'll buy a generator. I want to talk NFL with you, and we'll do NBA in a little bit. But first, I want to get your thoughts on Kyrie and the Nets last night.
Oh, we get to start with this? I was telling you when I first came in, just as a Net fan from afar, the most exciting part, obviously his return, is that the three of them in Harden, Kyrie, and KD played 15 games together, right? So everyone looked at the Nets as this powerhouse super team for now a few years. And in reality, that super team didn't really play together at all. They came together their most in the postseason last year and then got hurt in game one. When Harden got hurt in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, all of a sudden the big three was no more. Then Harden came back. Then Kyrie hurt his ankle and he was out, and it was a merry-go-round. The three of them together, I was talking about narratives. They were down 19 in the third quarter yesterday. And the Nets are a second-half team, but that just shows you how dangerous they are, man. And I know basketball is a game of runs, so you could say this about a lot of teams, but there really is no lead safe against this team. I mean, Kyrie didn't even hit a three-pointer, and the guy was making impact plays and just knocking down clutch shots towards the end there. We talked about how Kevin Durant, one of your stars of the night, quietly almost had 40 points and a triple-double, which was insane. And Harden was off. Harden couldn't find his rhythm, and they still made it work. So, you know, if they lose and go down and lose to 20 to the Pacers, we're not having this conversation today. Mm-hmm. I thought it'd be very Nets-esque for them to lose yesterday. I didn't love them to cover the 8, which ended up pushing, by the way, on a garbage time layup, which I thought was poetic. And Lance Stephenson, shout out to him. I told you guys in the Slack channel, I was like, yeah, this under's cooked. It's like Lance has 22 in the first quarter. There's no way this under's hitting. Exciting game, though. It's really exciting to see three of the best basketball players in the game, you know, on the court at the same time playing together. Only the 15th time it happened.
15th, right? Yeah, right? That is crazy. I'm not a big Nets guy, but I mean, I would like to see all three of them. I mean, who wouldn't want to see all three of them and see if, you know, if that could work? And yeah, 15 games is such a small sample size, and you know, you need to see them on the court a little bit more to create a chemistry. Remember when Miami first started that big three? I mean, they joked and they talked about how many championships they were going to win, and they did win a couple. And get that first one though, but it took them some time. Remember how they started? They were a 500 basketball team when they started. I believe they were even a game or two below 500 with like 40 games into the season, or 20, maybe 22 games into the season.
They're when LeBron went back to the Cavs. When LeBron went back to the Cavs, I know that's not the most legitimized super team, but it was Kevin Love, Kyrie, and him. They had some other guys that he brought from the Heat, and they were super lackluster and slow. I don't think they ever really had the one seed, right? When he went back to Cleveland, so. Yeah, I mean, it takes some time, and basketball is that one sport. The only good thing is that these guys are battle-tested. Also, you want to mention the Mavs. I know we're going to talk basketball, but hand up, I did not know it was Dirk Nowitzki night last night.
I should have told you.
How panicked was I immediately after? I was like, Meanie, what the? I was like, I'm on Warriors -5. I didn't know Dirk was getting his number retired. I'm like, I'm taking Luka everything over. I was like panicking. I was like, I'm cooked. My parlay was cooked, but it's whatever. It happens.
As usual, the bad host, me, I gave you very minimal time. You were in a complete flow. I still liked the Warriors, but I was like, as you were talking, I'm like, man, it's Dirk night here tonight. They're going to raise his jersey to the Raptors. Luka's going to ball out. He didn't really ball out. I mean, he had a good game, but I hammered the over on his points. It was over 25.5. He just got 26. I took the over on his threes. He only had two. I needed one more. And I did take a long shot in the triple-double at like 6-1. He didn't get it. He did roll his ankle. He hurt himself a little bit, but didn't get there. But Dallas, I mean, the defense is good, and they held him to 82, 84 points, which is the fewest that they've had. And there was a moment in that game where if you date back to Golden State's last game and then last night, Steph had missed 14 shots in a row. Like, I'd never seen that kind of stuff, and he was definitely shook last night, but then he started to heat up. But they're gonna get Clay back. They're gonna be just fine. We'll talk more NBA in just a little bit, but it was cool to see Dirk. And it's weird, does this happen all the time in the NBA? They save the ceremony for the end. I think it's kind of cool. In the NHL, I've seen my fair share of jerseys getting raised in at the Bell Center, at the Forum. Like, just the Habs have had a lot of good players. They usually do it before the game.
Yeah.
The fans are fired up. Everybody's amped, and away you go. They did it after the game. I didn't think it had the same sort of feel, but they were able to prolong the experience, and you had Dirk's family there and stuff.
But... I also thought it was a random game to do it, like, you know, January 5th against the Warriors. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Like, you'd think there's some significance. Maybe, like, I don't know. Maybe the day mattered to Dirk at some point in history. I was like, okay, yeah, well.
So we've talked a lot of NBA and no NFL here, but let's bring up week 18. There's a lot of just it's tough, man. I there's some games here that I left off, but I put the two Saturday contests up top with the Chiefs 10-point favorites against the Broncos, and then we have Dallas and Philadelphia, the Cowboys at 7. You know, if you would ask me yesterday morning, I'd say, yeah, you know, Dallas at 7 here, but now I just don't know who's even going to play in this game. You have the Titans 10.5, still a lot on the line for them to win this game to get the number one seed in the AFC. And then you have the Colts 15.5-point favorites against the Jags, and you have the Saints 4-point favorites against the Falcons. That's obviously a big one. The Saints need a win and then some help from the Rams, who are 4-point favorites at home against the 49ers. The Bucks 8-point favorites, more on Tampa, and a lot of drama going on with the organization as of right now. They welcome in Carolina. And then you have the Chargers 3-point favorites. We talked a lot, I think, already about that game this week. I'm sure we're going to bring it up maybe tomorrow yet again. But is there anything that stands out to you on this board that you even feel comfortable betting here on a Thursday?
Well, the one thing I'm kind of taken off on, or you know, taken off guard on, is the Colts 15.5. Has that line moved, or did they open? Because I don't know. The Colts need to win it. I get that. And I know the Jags, you know, are the Jags. It's just 15.5 is a lot of points. I always end up in this situation. Like, how many points is too many points, especially for bad teams? And at this point, teams who need to win. But I mean, I don't know. I guess if you look at the Patriots game, 15.5 isn't enough. I don't know. So the Rams 49ers game is the game I'm locked in on the most, just because also we're chasing history. You know, I was on Dog Day Afternoon with Jill's, and I can't find any props yet. I know they typically put it out there or odds boost, but last time Cooper Kupp played the 49ers, he had 11 receptions, 122 yards. He needs 160, I think, 170. Give me it. I want to take the 170. I want to take his over. I want to bet on him breaking history. And the more I think about it, man, like, the Rams have this long losing streak against the 49ers. Shanahan great on the road, right? He doesn't cover when he's home. Like, everything leads to the 49ers again. The Rams, if I'm the Rams, this is my playoff game right now. This is an early playoff game. If I'm them, I want to prove something. I want to come out and beat them. My advice was, if you like the Rams enough, and I think this is where I'm going to end up leaning on, is bringing them up to 6. Like, I think if the Rams win, they're going to smoke the 49ers, as crazy as that sounds. Like, we don't know what's going on with Jimmy G. Like, they did not look good against the Texans last week.
No, they didn't.
George Kittle was hot, and then all of a sudden, now the last couple of games, he can't find his flow again. Debo, I think teams are starting to kind of figure him out of the backfield. Like, I know Mitchell's running. There's just a lot going on with the 49ers, where I think with the Rams and their defense and with all this history with the 49ers, them being at home, I think they want to play spoiler man, history on the line. Like, I love the Rams, and I want to bet Cooper Kupp to break the record. My favorite bet.
I'm going to take Cooper Kupp, whatever his yard prop is. I'm taking it. I'm going to take the catch. Like, that's going to be certainly on their mind this weekend. There's no question. And I think you're right. Like, they don't want to have San Fran in the playoffs, right? They just, they want to knock them out. I mean, those two teams are very familiar with each other. The 49ers have had a lot of success against LA as well. I kind of lean like it's a field goal game, though. I wish I jumped it at a 5.5. I wish I did. You may have to do it now, because this could be close to like at 3. You know, you get the 4. If there's something about getting that 4, right? Like, there's this, you know, like when we talk about the hook, there's just something about getting that extra little bit there. Here's a stat that I came across, and I was searching it on my phone. This is from The Score, from John Breach. In the past 33 games, the Jaguars are 2-2 against the Colts and 2-27 against the rest of the league. The Colts have not won in Jacksonville since 2014.
15.5 is a lot of points. It's a lot of points.
It opened at 9.5, by the way. It opened at 9.5. I knew there had to have been moving.
Why? What's the change? I don't understand the change then. What?
Could we back the Jags at plus 15.5? Can we put our hard-earned money on the Jags to cover 15.5? Like, this team is atrocious.
Yeah, not really, but I want to just see, has there been any injuries? Is Trevor Lawrence not going to play? Like, that's the thing. At least you know what you're going to get with the Jaguars, right? Like, I mean, they're the same team every week. They're just not good, right? But, I mean, I don't know. Like, we've seen crazier. They beat the Bills at home, right? They shut down Josh Allen at home, held him without a touchdown. They beat him without scoring a touchdown in that game. So, I don't know. That could be a weird one, right? And everyone's rooting for the Jags to win.
Everybody
the chaos,
is.
Right?
Everybody
I'll take the 15.5 to vicariously. Like, we want the Jags to win, but I'll take them to cover. Like, I don't know, just for the thrill of week 18.
I think I'm leaning that way too. Put that board up one more time. 30 seconds here before we break. McCormick's giving some bets. Yeah. Last Sunday, Jets 16.5. I kind of like the Jets 16.5 too. I think the Bills get up big in that game in the first half, and then they rest some guys, and we could get the backdoor cover. They hung around last week with the Bucks, and then the Texans plus 10.5 as well. Just because, you know, Tennessee, these teams like Tennessee and Indianapolis that are going to run, they could chew up a lot of clock in this game, right? The scare that I have with backing the Jags is Trevor Lawrence, right? A couple pick sixes, a couple turnovers, defensive scores like we saw last week with the Pats, and then it's game over. I think the Falcons cover this too. This is a division game. The Saints can't move the ball on offense. Their defense is great, but Matt Ryan at home, this is like a Super Bowl game for him. I know he wasn't great in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, but this is a game where he wants to knock off the Saints here, right? He wants to knock off a division rival, and it's just a field goal game. Seems like a good one. And I agree with George too. Raiders plus 3 does seem like a pretty decent bet. They played a lot of close games so far this season. We got a break. Let's get out of here. We'll come back
and
talk some
drama. Shout out to your Eagles, too, by the way.
What, you think they cover that?
Battle of the backups, baby. Give me a touchdown in a preseason game. Are you kidding me? I think, or is either team scoring a touchdown? That's my point.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. I want to talk Rodgers with you. I want to talk AB. But I also want some NBA picks. So keep her locked. We got a lot to talk about here on Mean Streets. Brendan says Colts by 24. You know, none of us would be shocked if the Colts won by 24. Yeah, it's absolutely bonkers. I got some NFL stuff we want to talk about towards the end. It may only be a minute or so, but I want to give you the mic now to talk some NBA. Only 4 games in the association, so not a lot to love, but what's on your card?
So I can't really figure out any of these games. And like I said on point the last time I tried to bet against the Knicks, I was right. I said, we're staying away from the game. I wanted to bet the Pacers. The Knicks ended up winning. I'm saddling up. I'm strapping up this time, and I'm going with the Celtics money line, Meanie. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to bet against the Knicks correctly this time. I didn't make an official play last time because I felt it in the water. This time, I don't believe it. Okay, so the Celtics last night lost. They could have tied the game on a stolen inbound. Jaylen Brown missed at the buzzer on a very chippy-like layup. Uncharacteristic. I love him tonight. But the home team in this matchup has won each of the games. And I think even dating back to last year, the home team just ends up winning this game. I don't know. The Celtics are just better than the Knicks. No Kemba Walker still for the Knicks. I think that factors in. No Derrick Rose still. I think that matters. Like, I would have loved a Kemba revenge game here. But the line's pretty much close to a pick'em. I think it's like a point and a half, minus 120-ish is where we're looking at for the Celtics. So they're slight favorites. Typically, road favorites, I've told you about it, stay away in the NBA. But this is close enough that I feel confident in it. So what else do I have here? Draymond Green, points, rebounds, assists, over 24.5. No Steph. Someone's got to handle the offense. Draymond tends to do that even when Steph is there. I think he's going to have more urgency to rebound, more urgency to have some assists. Now, the scoring might be the issue, but I think we get to like 8 points, 6 to 8 points, which is probably his norm. I think we get there. Eight across the board. Yeah, eight across the board gets us to 24. We just need something to go over, and that'll probably be his rebounds. Ja Morant. I want to get in on Ja Morant double-double. I couldn't find a line. I love his over and rebounds. So this one's weird. If you look at his numbers, and I looked at the prop shop show, I shopped it, and the best line I could get to that was minus 145. His assists are at 7.5, and I kind of wanted to get down with that, but it's just wishy-washy. Like, it's a lot. 8 assists is a lot for a game that could be a blowout. He might end up just doing it all and handling the ball and you know, doing less scoring and get a triple-double. But I think, for one thing, he's going to have aggression and just handle the offense, similar to how he has in the last couple of games. So I think 5.5, him getting over 6, he's done this a ton already. His average is like 5.8 a game. So I like this. It's more of the norm. There's a reason the line is the way it is. I know it's not sexy, but, you know, I will be on double-double if I can find the line. And then, speaking of double-doubles, Marcus Morris Sr. double-double plus 500. Actually, one of my favorite bets, I think, of the day. So I was thinking of getting down with the Clippers plus 10.5, but I just couldn't convince myself.
No, I couldn't.
But the thing is, so the last time they played, the big thing here with Marcus Morris is that DeAndre Ayton is projected to be out for the Suns. They played the Suns with banged up rosters. No Devin Book, no anybody for the Clippers, just Chris Paul. They beat him. They beat him outright at home. They handled him. And Marcus Morris was a big factor in that. He's had 2 double-doubles. That was his last one. So his scoring has been there. And I think with Ayton out, I think his rebounding opportunities will be there. at plus 500, I think there's just great value on a guy who's already done it against a team. No DeAndre Ayton. They're going to need him to step up a little bit. The reason he hasn't had more double-doubles is because he's getting a lot of assists. So I think if he trims down on the assists, starts rebounding and crashing more, or has more opportunities, which he should with Ayton out, I think that's a great bet at 5-1.
I agree. I think he's a sneaky little DFS play too. He's like in that mid price range, but I've been playing him because of the time has been there, right? Like 24, 5 and 6, 23 and 10, 20 and 6. Like the minutes have been there and the statistics have been there as well. One more segment to talk about. We probably save AB for another day, but we'll talk Aaron Rodgers here. One more segment here on Main Streets. Don't go anywhere. So Aaron Rodgers is in the news, of course. He's been in the news all year. Let's bring up a part of what he said yesterday when a reporter, actually it was a voter, who had said basically that he wasn't going to vote for Rodgers. He basically said he was not a great person. And you and I have had this conversation before on this show about whether he would get the MVP votes or not, if people would just, you know, hold a grudge against him and the whole vaccine thing, and then kind of like being misleading to the media. He quote said, "I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was, probably until yesterday's comments," as he responded to a reporter. "We really only have 30 seconds. I don't want to dive into this too much. He is the favorite to win the MVP at minus 400. I just want to ask you, yes or no, do you think that he does win the MVP?"
Mike. Muted. Second day in a row. I think he wins the MVP, and I think the reporter's in the wrong because he also continued on to say that off the field should count for MVP, which is just incorrect.
Right. Guys, like, I mean, these voters are not watching Mean Streets. Unfortunately, you're missing a great time, but let's not hold a grudge, right? It's on the field. It's on the field. It's not most vaccinated player. Do what you want. I'm not here to tell anybody else, but his play on the field speaks for itself. But I do think we will see a few people take some shots at Aaron Rodgers and maybe not vote for him because of that. And it's super, super petty. We'll talk AB a little bit tomorrow as well. Guys, thanks for taking the time to hang out. From Tino, myself, Chris Meany, and George running the graphics for us as well. Have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.